focus on the Lord's Word. Romans chapter 11, verses 11 to 24. And it says this, "I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now if their transgression be riches for the world and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnified my ministry. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection be the reconciliation of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? And if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also, and if the root be holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" Pastor Richard.
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see everyone here today, and I'm sure there are some at least watching from the live stream. We're glad to have you there as well. Today we are talking about the kindness and the severity of God. He is both judge of the universe. He is holy, righteous, pure, and yet he is also merciful and kind and loving. But it all depends on how you approach him. Are we approaching him through faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, knowing that we do not deserve his kindness? Or are we approaching him with works, saying that we deserve his love because we have accomplished so much in our lives? It's really a thin line between the two. So let us pray and get into the passage. Dear Lord, Father, you are kind and you are severe, Father. You are both judge and merciful, Father. It is so wonderful to know you, Father, in all of your fullness, Father. Everything that you are to us depends on the fact that you are indeed holy and righteous and pure. No other God would be sufficient for us, Father. We need a God that is perfect so that we can live in perfection forever and ever in the heavens and on the earth, Father. For if you were flawed, if you were sinful in any way, Father, then you would not be the God that we need, Father, because we would live in an imperfect world forever and suffer under the power of sin forever. Father, but you are holy and righteous and good and pure, Father, and we can rejoice in that. But because you are holy and righteous and good and pure, Father, we as sinners cannot approach you, Father. We cannot be in your presence, Father, because we do not deserve it, and your holiness just destroys our sinfulness, Father. And we tremble and fear to be in your presence, Father. But you have given us your Son, Jesus, Father. You have given him to us so that he might live a perfect life, Father, never sinning, Father. And because he never sinned, we can trust him for his righteousness that becomes our own righteousness. And suddenly we can stand before you in a way we never could before. And all the sinfulness that we have, we are deserving of eternal hell, Father, because we have sinned against you, an infinite God, Father. But Jesus went to the cross. He took upon himself the punishment of hell that we deserve, so that through trusting in him, we might not have to take that punishment ourselves, because he took it in our place, Father. And then he rose again on the third day so that we might have new spiritual life in him today, growing to be more and more like him in his image, Father, and new physical life in the world to come. What an amazing gospel, Father. We thank you for the work of Christ, Father. Help us see how this work applies to the salvation of the Gentiles and the salvation of the Jews, Father. How can we be saved, Father? I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 11:11 starts us. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Here we are again. He is asking a question and he's giving the answer, and the answer is the strongest Greek negative in the language, for there are over 10 negatives in the Greek language. So when he says, did Israel stumble so that they might fall permanently, he's asking that question. He says, by no means. May it never be. Impossible. No way. Unthinkable. The idea that Israel has stumbled so that they might fall permanently and never return to grace is unthinkable to Paul, because God has made promises to his people Israel that need to be completely fulfilled. The text goes on. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Point number one. Through the falling away of Israel, God has now extended his salvation to the Gentiles. God will use this grace given to the Gentiles to cause the Jews to be jealous of the Gentiles because they have received salvation in Jesus Christ. Point number one, through the falling away of Israel, God has now extended his salvation to the Gentiles. God will use this grace given to the Gentiles to cause the Jews to be jealous of the Gentiles because they have received salvation in Jesus Christ. Although jealousy is usually seen as a negative term, here the jealousy of the Jews is a good thing because it leads them to desire Jesus Christ. Romans 11:12 goes on. Now if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Israel's sinful falling away means riches in Jesus Christ for the whole world. Because God has now extended his promise beyond Israel to the whole world, blessing the world with the riches in Christ for all who will repent of their sins and believe in him. And their failure to embrace Jesus Christ, the Israel, means that there are riches in Christ now for the Gentiles, when there has never been riches in Christ for the Gentiles before. How much greater blessing will there be for the world if all of the Jews embrace Christ? To think about it. All of the Jews embracing Christ, and people from every tribe, tongue, and nation embracing Christ as well, so that God keeps his promises to the Jews, but also extends his promises to the Gentiles, so that Gentile and Jew both can be totally blessed in Jesus Christ. Romans 11, 13-14 goes on. Now I'm speaking to you Gentiles. Paul saying he's speaking to the Gentiles here. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. Point number two. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, but he desires to see his ministry not just reach the Gentiles, but to be magnified by reaching some of the Jews as well. Point number two. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, but he desires to see his ministry not just reach the Gentiles, but to be magnified by reaching some of the Jews as well. So Paul here, assigned by God to reach the Gentile nations for Jesus so that they might come to believe in Jesus and be saved, wants his ministry to be magnified even beyond the Gentiles to the Jews so that some of them might come into the church as well, repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. Romans 11, 15 goes on. For if their rejection, the Jews' rejection, means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Point number three. Through Israel's rejection, God has brought the reconciliation of the world to himself through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. When God accepts the nation of Israel back from the rejection, this will mean life from the dead. Point number three. Through Israel's rejection, God has brought the reconciliation of the world to himself through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. When God accepts the nation of Israel back from their rejection, this will mean life from the dead. So what does this mean, life from the dead? Paul likely refers to new spiritual life for the Jews individually and new spiritual life for the Jews as a nation. Now, Paul may also be referring to the end times resurrection of the dead, as this resurrection will not occur until after the salvation of the whole nation of Israel. This is an eschatological purpose. And that eschatological word, the word eschatological, simply means the end things that come at before the final end of the world, the last things to happen in history. But we're not sure if it means that. The text is not clear. So we know it at least means new spiritual life, both individually and as a nation for the Jews. Romans 11:16 goes on. If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches that hang out from the root. Point number four. If the dough's beginning part is holy, it follows that the whole lump of dough is holy. And if the root of a plant is holy, so are the branches. So all who are in Christ through faith are covered by his righteousness. Number four, if the dough's beginning part is holy, it follows that the whole lump of dough is holy. And if the root of a plant is holy, so are the branches. So all who are in Christ through faith are covered by his righteousness. You see, if you are part of the dough that Jesus Christ is the first fruit of, the beginning part of, then you too will be holy because Christ's holiness will spread through the dough to you. And if the root of a plant, and that root being Jesus Christ, is holy, so are the branches that hang from that tree, because Christ himself is holy, and he spreads his holiness into the branches. But here we see in Romans 11, 17 through 18, what this means for the Jews and the Gentiles. But if some of the branches were broken off of the tree, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. The branches that were broken off were those Jews who were not elect and sought to establish their salvation by works, as we saw in Romans chapter 10. The wild olive shoots are the Gentiles whom God has elected, who now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. They have now come to faith in Christ. Paul warns Gentiles that it is not the Gentile branches that support the root. We don't support Jesus. It is Jesus Christ, the root, that supports us. And thus, if we were broken off from the tree, we would no longer have that support of Jesus Christ. And of course, it's not a perfect analogy, because you would think once we're in Christ, we're saved, and we can't lose our salvation. But still, the idea is that if God has not had us permanently in that tree, if we were broken off, then we would not have the salvation of Jesus Christ. And some of the Jewish branches were broken off under God's judgment. And the Gentile branches were grafted into the tree so that they might have salvation. Romans 11, 19 through 20 goes on. Then you will say, but branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true, that they were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. Point number five. As a Gentile who professes faith in Jesus, you might say that the Jewish branches were broken off so that you could be grafted in. While this is true, those Jews were broken off because they did not truly believe in Christ. While as a Gentile, you stand fast only through faith. Therefore, do not be proud, but fear God. Number five, as a Gentile who professes with the mouth faith in Jesus, you might say that the Jewish branches were broken off so that you could be grafted in. While this is true, those Jews were broken off because they did not truly believe in Christ as their Messiah. While as a Gentile, you stand fast only through faith. Therefore, do not be proud, but fear God. Don't be proud of some work that you've done, something that you have accomplished in order so that the Jewish branches were broken off and you as the Gentile branch were grafted in. You must fear God because it's a dangerous thing to be in the presence of God if we're not trusting in Jesus, if we're trusting in something that we have done. Romans 11, 21 through 22 goes on. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Wow, a word of warning. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen. But God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. We too will be cut off? Is it possible? Is it saying that we could lose our salvation? No, I don't believe that. But there is the possibility that we will find that we never had salvation to begin with when we face Christ on Judgment Day. Point number six. There are many Jews, the natural branches, that God did not spare when he did his pruning of the tree because they did not stand by faith. So if you also, in arrogance, do not cling to the root, Jesus Christ, by faith, you too will not be spared. Point number six. There are many Jews, the natural branches, that God did not spare when he did his pruning, because they did not stand by faith. So if you also, in arrogance, do not cling to the root, Jesus Christ, by faith, you too will not be spared. Note then the kindness, the absolute kindness, and the severity of God. Severe in his judgments, kind in his mercies. God has severity in hardening the heart of all those who have been fallen by failing to seek salvation in Christ by faith. But he shows his kindness to his elect people who will continue in his kindness through faith. But remember that all those natural branches of the tree, the Jews who thought they were included in his kindness, those who thought that they were his elect, they believed themselves to be the elect chosen people of God, they discovered that they were not saved even though they thought they were. It's possible to be living a life where you're depending on your own works to be saved, and not realize that you're not believing in Christ through faith. There's a warning here. If you don't continue in God's kindness, his kindness, and you depend upon your own works, you too can be cut off from the tree. This is sad. We know people in our lives who believe they are Christians, believe they are following Christ, but yet they're not, because they're depending on their own works in order to save them. It's a trick that goes on in the heart. They think, oh, now that I'm a Christian, I'm better. I believe in Christ, so now I'm good. Instead of continuing to repent and put their trust in what Christ has done, knowing that all of our works are like filthy rags before God, The only hope that we have is not through anything that we can do, but through our faith, through our trust in what Christ has done. And the Jews, they didn't want a Messiah to save them. They wanted to save themselves. And that is why they were grafted out of the tree, and some Gentiles were grafted in. Romans 11:23. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. So, those who are now in unbelief, but they're alive, they have not died and gone on to judgment, can be grafted in to the tree again if they're truly elect, because God has the power to graft them in again. Point number 7. Even the branches that were broken off could be grafted back into the tree if they were to put their trust in Jesus Christ, because God has the power to choose whomever he wishes for salvation. You'll remember this from Romans chapter 9. Point number seven. Even the branches that were broken off could be grafted back into the tree if they were to put their trust in Jesus Christ, because God has the power to choose whomever he wishes for salvation. God is the foundation of all of our salvation. So if he has chosen someone for salvation, he can remove them from the tree, meaning that they will live their life in rebellion for a time, and he can graft them back in again, meaning they place their faith, the repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, so that they will be saved, because he can save whoever he chooses to save. And we remember that. Romans 11:24. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? There is coming a time when the natural branches, meaning the nation as a whole, Israel, will be saved. They will all be saved. Every living Jew at that time. And the text for next week says that it will happen when the fullness of the Gentiles has come into Christ. That means that all of the Gentiles that will be saved during this age will be saved, and at that time the Jews will be grafted back into the tree. The whole nation, every last Jew, will come to faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And then the end will come. The final judgment. Point number eight. Since the Gentiles, who are not naturally part of the root of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, have been grafted through faith into him, how much more will God keep his promises to the Jewish people when he grafts them back into the tree? Number 8. Since the Gentiles, who are not naturally a part of the root of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, have been grafted through faith into him, how much more will God keep his promises to the Jewish people when he grafts them back into the tree? So, does this mean that every Jew who ever lived will be saved? No. Of course, the text has taught us that that's not the case. In chapter 9, it says not all Israel is Israel, meaning not all physical Israel is spiritual saved Israel. But it does mean that there's coming a time in history, soon, we don't know how soon, when God will call every last Jewish person back to Jesus Christ, their Messiah, and they will all believe. And we're going to be seeing this in the culmination of Romans 9, 10, and 11 next week. Application. Two applications today. Number one, no one has such a record of works before God that they are outside the reach of God's judgment. And no one is so close to the judgment of God that they are outside the reach of God's kindness in Christ. Therefore, fear God and tell everyone of his grace and mercy to you and for them through faith in Jesus Christ. Application number one. No one has such a record of works before God that they are outside the reach of God's judgment. No one is outside the reach of God's judgment because of the record of works. That won't save anyone, no matter how good, relatively good, their works are. And no one is so close to the judgment of God that they are outside the reach of God's kindness in Christ. Anyone can believe. If God changes their heart and calls them to faith in Jesus Christ, anyone can be saved, even those who are very close to receiving the judgment of God. Therefore, fear God and tell everyone of his grace and mercy to you and for them through faith in Jesus Christ. Tell people. Share with people. Let them know. It's their only hope. We saw this in Romans chapter 10. The message of salvation. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ, the gospel. People need to hear, and we need to go and tell them. It's the only hope for those who are not now believing. They must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and be saved. Application number two, pray for the fullness of the Gentiles to come in and for all Israel to be saved so that soon after Jesus Christ might return to judge the living and the dead. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Number two, pray for the fullness of the Gentiles to come in and for all Israel to be saved, so that soon after, Jesus Christ might return to judge the living and the dead. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. End the suffering of the world. Jesus, come back and establish your kingdom where there'll be no more suffering, sickness, sin, or tears, where we can sit with you and rejoice for all eternity. Father, we are weary. We are weary. And the world is difficult. And the world is only getting worse. Jesus, please come. Please come back. And Maranatha means, oh Lord, come. That's what Maranatha means. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, these things are a mystery to us sometimes, Father. Why you would do things this way, Father. Why you've chosen to choose the Jews for a time and harden them for a time while you choose the Gentiles and then choose both Jews and Gentiles for a time, and then finally choose all the Jews again, Father. But your ways are above our ways, Father. And who can tell you something that you do not know, Father? No one can. I pray, Father, that you would come soon. Jesus would come soon. Maranatha, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.